Perkedev Eliezer, Perk Lamed Zion. We spoke about Yaakov Avinu running away from Lavan and then making a treaty with him. In this parak, we're going to speak about Yaakov Avinu's encounter with Esav as he's running away. So the Medrash starts like this. Pasuk in Amos is talking about, it's sort of criticizing a person who he's not necessarily a tzaddik, he's like a rasha, and he's waiting for the Yemais HaMashiach. He's a rasha who's waiting for Yemais HaMashiach because of all the tzaras that he's living through now, and he's saying, oh, when Mashiach comes, everything is going to be better, right? So Amos is sort of telling him that, no, like, be Yemais HaMashiach, if you're not a tzaddik, it's not going to be so much better for you. So the Navi Amos compares it to the following. Kasher Yonos Ish Mipnei Ha'ari, just like a person who's running away from a lion, Ufigoyoi Hadoiv, and then he's running away from a lion, and who does he meet in the street? A big bear, right? So too, and then the next line is actually going to be the beginning of the next pair, and then finally he runs away and he gets to his house and he goes next to the wall of his house, and what happens? A snake comes and bites him. Right? So he's like running away from a lion, he beats, bumps into a bear, and then finally he gets home, and he gets bitten by a snake. It's like he's running away from all these tzaras, and the tzaras end up catching up to him. So the Medrash is going to say that this is a remez, a drush to Yaakov Avinu. Hari ze Lavan. The lion that Yaakov Avinu is running away from is a reference to Lavan. Shuradov achare Yaakov lachtef esnafshe. Because Lavan chased after Yaakov Avinu to grab his soul, or litref esnafshe to what's it called? I guess litref to tear his soul. But so Yaakov Avinu is running away from the lion, and who does he meet? The bear. What's the bear? Hadoiv. The bear is Achiv. It's his brother. Zeh Esav. That's his brother Esav. I would assume because, you know, Esav was very hairy, and a bear is like very hairy. I don't know. Sha'amar al derech, like, because Esav was standing on the road. Kedoyv shakul bala hames em al banim. Esav was standing on the road like a bear who is shakul.
What
part? Yeah, Nachanami. No, so the MS is that if you look in the regular Rishonim on the pasuk and Amos, like maybe I think it was the Radak or Rashi, Ibn Ezra, something like that. So they all learn that, like, you know, Ari is Bavel and Doiv is Paras, like usual imagery that we use in Tanakh. But for some reason, the Medrash over here is learning it's going on Lavan and Esav, which is sort of somewhat the opposite. So you say that the Esav was standing on the road like a doiv shakul. What's a doiv shakul? A bear who's shakul. What does shakul mean? So if you look in the Jastro dictionary, it says shakul means bereft of his whelps. I don't know what that means, but I think what it means is like this. Shakul comes like from a lashon of loyeh b'chom shakil mishakela, or kashashik l'noshim chaybecha kinti shakul minashim imecha. Shakil means someone who doesn't have children. Right? So what I understand is like a bear that doesn't have children, their children ran away or disappeared or whatever. So the bear is like very angry and upset. So it's going out. It's gonna go kill somebody. So Esav was like in that state. He was like an angry man. He's gonna go out. He wants to go kill Amal Abanim, Yaakov Avinu's wives with their children. And he wants to go out and kill the whole nation. It's an interesting zach that in Sefer Yosher, it's brought down that when Yaakov Avinu ran away from Lavan and whatever, they made the deal with Lavan. So then afterwards, Lavan went behind Yaakov Avinu's back and sent a message to Esav and told Esav, you should know that Yaakov Avinu is, you know, is on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? And that's what the pasuk says, that Arba me'ez ish im hine Esav achicha bali krascha v'arba me'ez ish imoy. Esav, your brother, is coming to greet you with 400 men. How did Esav know that Yaakov Avinu is coming to Eretz Yisrael? So the Medrash, the Sefer Yosher, is saying that Lavan sent a message to tell him that Yaakov Avinu is coming. Because Lavan knew that Esav wanted to kill him. So Lavan's like, look, I can't kill him, so I'll get Esav to kill him. From Chaim Kanievsky, in the time of the Krah, in Parshas Kisavai, he writes that that's what the pasuk means, Arami Oved Avi. Where do we see that, that Lavan really tried to kill Bnei Yisrael? Right? We see that he caught up to him, he gave him Yaakov in a whole speech, and they made a peace treaty. So where do we see that he tried to destroy him? He says, no, Yaakov, Arami Oved Avi is referring to the fact that Lavan sent a message to Esav, to tell Esav to come, Yaakov is on his way, so you should go out and go kill Yaakov. Says the Midrash, another chiluk between Lavan and Esav. Want to close the door? I don't know. I don't smell it. Maybe if you sit over there. A chiluk between Lavan and Esav. V'ha'ari, the lion yesh lo b'yishis panim. A lion has embarrassment. A lion has sort of b'yishis panim. It could be embarrassed. It's not going to do like go all out and bleed without any b'yishis. V'adayiv ain lo b'yishis panim. But a bear doesn't have b'yishis panim. It'll go and do whatever it wants to do. It won't be embarrassed of anyone. It goes and it has a lot of guts. So the Midrash is saying that Lavan has b'yishis panim and Esav doesn't have b'yishis panim. So what does that mean? So the Bais HaGadol explains that what it means is that Lavan, when he met up with Yaakov, so he said to him, you know, Hashem appeared to me the night before in a dream, and he said that I shouldn't bother you, so I don't want to bother you, let's just make a peace treaty. That's how Lavan reacted. But Esav is not scared of Hashem. If Hashem would come and tell Esav, don't mess with Yaakov, Esav would still say, I don't care, I want to do what I want to do, I want to kill him, nothing could stop me. That's what the Bais HaGadol says. The Rabbi Leo Meizmir in V'loy Oid Ela, as well as the Radal, more or less says the same pshat, says a different pshat. This is an interesting idea. Rabbi Leo Meizmir says that the greatest chutzpah that a person can have is if he goes over to a stranger and starts arguing with a stranger and threatening some random person on the street, some random stranger starts arguing with him, threatening him, and that's like the most chutzpah that a person could do. Yeah? That's what he says.
Not here.
What?
No.
Not here. So he says like this. Lavan, what did Lavan want to do? He says Lavan wanted to go kill Yaakov. Right? Why? Because he knows Yaakov, he got in a fight with Yaakov, and he wants to go. He wanted to go kill him or destroy him, whatever. He wasn't necessarily successful, and then he changed his mind. But that wasn't what he was initially wanted to do, right? Yaakov, okay, that's Lavan. Esav didn't just want to kill Yaakov. We said the Medrash says Bolo Hamis Emal Bonim. He wanted to kill the mothers and the kids. He wanted to kill Yaakov, and his whole family. He wanted to kill them all out. Now tell me, does Esav know Yaakov's family? He doesn't know them. He never met them before. They're just coming. They were just born in the last few years in Aram Naharaim, and now he decided I want to go kill everyone. It's much greater chutzpah than what Lavan was trying to do. Lavan just wanted to kill one guy because he got a fight.
Lavan bikesh lakos hakol.
What?
Lavan bikesh lakos hakol. So what's hakol?
So what does it mean that Lavan bikesh lakos hakol? It could mean that originally. Okay, whatever. You have to know what it means. Love making shakar sakal. It could be he just means that he wanted to mess over Yaakov Avinu and make it that nothing will come out. Not that once they were already born, he wants to go out and kill them. There's such a pshat that Yaakov, that Lavan, he made a whole cheshbin that how he's going to destroy Kala Yisrael by giving Leah before what's it called? But what was his cheshbin? That if he would give Leah before Rachel. So then, if he gave Leah before Rachel, so he realized that Yosef won't be the Bechor, and then, I forget what his Cheshbin was, they ascribed to Lavan different Cheshbinis, that he was the one who was thinking that Bnei Yisrael would be able to go down to Mitzrayim and then they get lost in Mitzrayim. That was his Cheshbin, I think. That he knew that if he gave Leah before Rachel, so then Yosef won't be a Bechor, and then even though Yaakov loves Rachel, so his child with Rachel won't be a Bechor, and Mimela, what will happen is that the other brothers will be jealous of the fact that Yaakov likes that kid, and will cause jealousy, and maybe it'll somehow make it that once they have jealousy, then you have period in Klal Yisrael, and you can't continue growing. I don't know if he knew exactly that they're going to go to Mitzrayim and sell them to Mitzrayim, whatever. But the point is that he knew he thought that it can't go further if he would create some sort of machlokes over there. But I don't know if Bikesh Hakadosh Baruch Hu necessarily means that he wanted to go out and literally go and kill him. But Esav, we say, Esav literally wanted to go and kill him. We also find, granted, the Radal sort of asks this question, because the Radal says that Lavan said to Yaakov, you know, he said, Yesh el yadi lasis imochem ra. I have the power to do bad to you. Imochem, Lashon Rabim, to do to you, meaning not just to you, Yaakov, but to you, your whole family. Right, so that implies that that Lavan wanted to mamish lakar as a kar, like you said. And the Radal says that no, it could be that what Lavan meant was that really I just want to kill Yaakov. But if you guys are going to try to stop me, so I'll kill you, so that you'll get out of my way, and then I can kill Yaakov. So that's what the Radal more or less says. But Omad Yaakov. So when Yaakov Avinu found out that Esav is coming to greet him, to kill his family, Amar Yaakov got up, and he prayed in front of Hashem, and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, didn't you tell me this? Did you not tell me so? Shuv el Eretz Avisecha l'madatcha ve'ehyeh imach, didn't you tell me these words? Quote unquote, return to the land of your forefathers and to the place where you're born, and I will be with you. So he said, you're going to be with me. So Hashem, you have to protect me. Behold, my brother Esav is now coming to kill me, and he's not scared of you. And I'm scared of him. So what am I supposed to do, Hashem? Hashem, please help me. So you see from the Lashon of the Medrash that Yaakov is scared of Esav because Esav doesn't have Yir Shemayim. Esav is not scared of you, therefore I'm scared of him. That's what Yaakov just said. So says the Medrash, Mikan Amru, from here the Chazals tell us, Al tisarim ibn ish shaiter umayshal. Don't be scared of a man who's a shaiter umayshal, a policeman, let's say, not necessarily police, a person who has authority. Don't be scared of a person who has authority. That person can't necessarily affect you. As the Rabbi Yomi Israel says, because we say, Leiv Malachim Bi'ad Hashem, the hearts of the kings or people in positions of power are in the hands of Hashem. So whatever Hashem wants, it's just going to filter through that guy, and you know, there's nothing for you to be worried about. Ella, Mipnei Adam Shein Ba'yir HaShemayim. What should you be scared of? A person who doesn't have Yir HaShemayim. Because a person who doesn't have Yir HaShemayim is not going to be a proper tool for bringing out what Hashem wants in the world. And of course, we know that people have their own Bechira. If a person's Bechira chooses, he wants to be a bad person, and he doesn't have Yir HaShemayim, that's what you should be scared of. V'amad loy ala derech. And Esav stood there on the road like this crazed bear to go kill the mother and the children. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to help Yaakov Avinu out? Now this is a very funny line over here. What did Hashem do to help Yaakov Avinu out? What did he do? Hashem sent an angel to save Yaakov Avinu. And to redeem him, to save him from the hands of Esav. V'niraloi ki'ish. And that malach, that angel, appeared to Yaakov Avinu like a person. Shinemar, as it says in the Pasuk, right? The Pasuk says, Vayivasa Yaakov levadai. Yaakov remained alone. Vayayovik ish imai adalei sashachar. And a man fought with him until daybreak. So this man that fought with Yaakov Avinu, that's this malach that Hashem sent to save Yaakov Avinu. Do you have any questions over here? No?
Continue.
What?
Maybe, I don't know.
What happened over here? Hashem sent a malach to save Yaakov Avinu, and we're bringing a pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu is fighting with some man. And we know that Ish, Chazal tells us that Ish usually refers to a malach, right? So he's fighting with him? I thought Hashem sent this malach for Yaakov Avinu to save Yaakov Avinu. And why is Yaakov Avinu fighting with the malach? How's the malach saving him? He was wrestling with him. Where do you see the malach came to save Yaakov Avinu? Yeah. So, first of all, we have to know who this Malach was exactly. Famously, Chazal tell us in some places that the Malach was our good friend Sammy. Right, the Malach of the Sorer Shel Esav, whose name is Samol or Sammy. Right, so that's what Chazal tells us in some places. The Radal brings in Bereishis Rabbah, it says that there's a Machlekes if it was Michoel or Gavriel, which sounds like this was a Malach of Rachamim. And that's what we're saying over here, that this Malach came to save Yaakovinu. So if it's a Malach of Rachamim, it's coming to save Yaakovinu, so why is he fighting with it? Okay, so it would seem that, I don't know, it would seem that maybe there's some sort of, there's a different Nakud over here. Rav Chaim Falachi in Parachat says like this. He first of all, he asks this question. He says, what do you mean, if he came to save him, why is he fighting with him? And he says, and first of all, how come Rav Leo Meizmer didn't ask this question? That's Rav Chaim Falachi says. I don't understand why he doesn't ask this question. Sorry, I just thought that was very funny. So Rav Chaim Falachi says like this. You have to say that Hashem sent this Malach because ultimately, when Yaakovinu is going to fight with this Malach, we're going to see later on that the Malach is going to give Yaakovinu a special bracha. And the Malach is going to say that, you know, give Yaakovinu a special name, Yisrael. And this is the Malach that came, that's giving him these brachas and whatever, right? So, the point of the Malach is to give Yaakovinu these extra koiches, so that he'll be able to defeat Esav. He has another bracha, he has a special name, now he could defeat Esav. That's what the Malach came for.
There's the chesbon, and it's to fight the Malach, but is through this fighting is going to achieve salvation.
Right.
It's going to be saved. What's saved? It's going to be turned into a different person.
Right. Okay. Another Nukud that Rav Chaim Falachi says, and this only works if you understand that the Malach that we're talking about was the Sorer Shel Esav, the ministering angel of Esav. So Rav Chaim Falachi says that Hashem sent this Malach to go fight with Yaakov Avinu, and if Yaakov Avinu can probably easily defeat him, or at least weaken him, and when you weaken the angel of a nation, then you're also weakening the nation itself. So when Yaakov Avinu if he defeats the Malach of Esav, or hurts the Malach of Esav, or somehow, you know, weakens it, so then when Yaakov Avinu encounters the physical Esav and the physical nation of Esav, they're already weakened.
Yeah, but the same thing happens to Yaakov himself.
That's true. But it was the physical Yaakov that got hurt, not the spiritual Yaakov. He hurt his foot, or whatever, his sinew. But that doesn't affect the whole Klal Yisrael, that just affected sort of Yaakov with his foot. But if you affect the Malach, then you're affecting the whole nation under whose influence that Malach is. We spoke about the idea of I don't remember which Perek it was. Perek something. By Dora Palaga, we spoke about it. That it says in the Medrash, in Perek of the Beliefs, it says, Bahanchel Elyon Goyim Bahafridoib. Oh wow, Mom's looking at it right here. It's in Perek Chav Dalet. Bahanchel Elyon Goyim Bahafridoib Bnei Adam Yatzev Gvul Yisamim Lispar Bnei Yisrael. And when Hashem was dividing up the nations, Bahanchel Elyon, the High One, was dividing up Goyim, the nations, Bahafridoib Bnei Adam, when he was separating the people, Yatzev Gvulais Amim, he set up the borders of the nations, Kimispar B'nai Yisrael, like the number of the children of Yisrael. What's that number? 70. Because we know that Yaakov B'Shivim Rish Yardu Mitzrayim, with 70 souls that came down to Mitzrayim, so the 70 people, so that's the Kimispar B'nai Yisrael. Fine. That's what Chaim Falaji's word. So that's what this Malach is coming to do. It's coming to help us weaken Esav, and it's coming to help Yaakov in defeat him. Get these brachas. V'kevin sh'ala amur ha-shachar. Okay, so Yaakovinu is fighting with this Malach the whole night. V'kevin sh'ala amur ha-shachar. Once daybreak came, Omer lo ha-malach shalcheni. So the angel said to Yaakovinu, send me away. She'igia eis amidosti l'shores l'zam l'fnei kadosh baruch hu. Because it has, my time to stand and to serve and to sing in front of Hashem has arrived. And I have to go up back to Shemayim and sing in front of Hashem. V'lo yirotza Yaakov l'shalchay. And Yaakovinu did not want to send him. Me'asa ha-malach. So what did the angel do? Hisril l'shoyer u'lazamer min ha'aretz. The angel began to sing And to what's the difference between the Shira and Zimra? You have to know. I think Shira means like with words, and Zimra means with a niggin, something like that. I think I once saw from Rav Shimshon Pink is that like Zimra is like the highest form of singing or something, because it's beyond words. It's just the niggin, something like that. When the Elyonim, the entities in the upper realms, heard as Kola Malach Shahi Mesherim Mizamer in Eretz, the voice of this angel which was singing and being Mizamer from the land, from the Eretz, even though it's supposed to do it from Shemayim, but it was instead of doing it, going back to Shemayim and singing in front of Hashem, it was just singing in front of Hashem down here at the land. Amru, so it was a little bit out of place. Right? Amru, they said, why is this malach singing over here in the land instead of singing in Shemayim? The shul kvoid atzadik anu shemim is kol malach min aretz. Because of the covet of the tzadik, we hear the voice of the malach from the land. Meaning, because Hashem wanted to show everyone all the malachim and everyone in Shemayim that Yaakov Avinu is such a big tzaddik and he's somebody that it's worth giving cover to, so Hashem made this whole thing happen that the malach would end up defeated when it was fighting Yaakov Avinu, would be stuck on the ground and would have to give shira on the ground, and everyone's going to know that it's giving shira on the ground instead of giving shira in the Shemayim, to show that this is the covet of Yaakov Avinu. And Hashem did all of this for the covet of Yaakov Avinu. That's what the Bais HaGadol says. Allah Akasav Omer about this, the pasuk says, "Miknaf Aretz Zmirais Shamanu," from the wing of the land, Zmirais Shamanu. We heard Zmirais, we heard the singing. Tzvi Latadik. Tzvi is a lashon of Ratzon. B'Tzviyana Nivra'u means according to their Ratzon, according to their will. Tzvi Latadik. This was the will of the Tzadik, the Gomer, etc. Because it was the tzaddik that held back the malach from going to Shemayim, so it was miknaf ha'aretz zmir shemayim. It was only from the land that they heard the zmiras. Fine. So again, the malach said again, "Send me away, send me out, let me free." The second time, Omer lo Yaakov. Yaakov said to him, "Eini mishalech acha ad shetevarcheni. I'm not going to send you free until you give me a bracha." Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, "Loi ashalechacha ki im berachtoni." I will not send you unless you give me a blessing. Uberchai, and the angel gave Yaakovino a blessing. Shenemar, vayivorech eisoi sham, and he blessed him there. The malach gave Yaakovino a blessing. Vayidamalai shalcheni. Now a third time, the malach said to him again, "Send me away." Omar loi, Yaakovino said to him, "Eini meshalechacha ad shetomerli mashemecha." Yaakov said to the malach, "I'm not going to send you out until you tell me what's your name." Oh, do you remember what the malach's reaction to this was? Malach's reaction in the pasuk is, he said back to Yaakov, "Lama zeh tishalashmi? Why are you asking my name? What does it mean? Why are you asking my name?" Okay, so let's see what the Medrash says. So the Medrash says, "V'kara shema Yisrael kishmoi, shenikra shema Yisrael." The angel called Yaakov Avinu Yisrael like its own name, because that angel was called Yisrael. That's what the Medrash says. So the angel tells Yaakov Avinu that your name is no longer Yaakov, your name is not going to be Yisrael. And you ask me, what's my name? Why are you asking my name? So what happened over here? So the Medrash is explaining to us that the name of the Malach was Yisrael. Okay, so how does that answer the question? What's your name? Why are you asking me what's my name? And the Medrash is sort of answering, oh, by the way, you should know that his name happens to be the same name as Yaakov. So the Marzu explains that the Malach's answer was, why are you asking me what's my name? I have the same name as you. It's Pasha. You know what my name is. We have the same name, you and me. The Malach had the same name as Yaakov, you know. The Malach's name was Yisrael. So he's saying, why are you asking me what my name is? You know what my name is. It's the same name as you. That's one Nakuda. The other Nakuda is like this. The Radal sort of speaks this out. One of the other Mefarshim, I think, also says this. But the Radal speaks this out. We know, the Chazal tell us that every Malach is called by the name of its duty. What this malach is supposed to do, what it's supposed to accomplish, that's what gives it its name. Right? So, what was this Malach's role? This Malach's role, as we said earlier, was to come and give Yaakov, you know, bracha, to come and tell Yaakov that his name is Yisrael, etc. So that was this Malach's role. So his role was to give Yaakov the name Yisrael. So what are we going to call him? His name is also Yisrael, because that's what his role is. Right? Like Michal is the Malach of Bnei Yisrael. Why is Michal the Malach of Bnei Yisrael? Because Michal is Mika Amcha Yisrael. That's what Michal means. Michal means Mika Amcha Yisrael. Who is like Bnei Yisrael? So that Michal is the representation of Klal Yisrael. Gavriel is the
Mara in the sense of the Mika Kil.
What?
There's a Sheva. The Mika Kil.
Who's like Hashem? Okay. Gavriel is Lashon of Gvura.
That's the Sheva of the
Tashem.
Tashem, that you all want to do that, you know, Klal Yisrael. Because the other people, different ways.
I heard.
I don't know. I'm trying to give both explanations.
Put them together.
Yeah, I'm trying to put them together.
Mika. And Gavriel is Lashon of Gvura, because that's the role of Gavriel, to like to bring Dinim down into the world of Gvura. Gavriel is the Malach of Eish, which Eish is something that destroys. That's what Gvura is. It sort of takes away. So every malach has the name of the malach is what it does. The name represents what it does. It represents its own essence. The Radal brings another. The Radal doesn't mention these examples of Michal and Gavriel. That was my addition. The Radal brings a different example from this week's Haftarah. This week's Haftarah we're going to read tomorrow on Shabbos. We're going to read in Sefer Shoftim, where it talks about Shimshon. Actually, it doesn't talk about Shimshon. It talks about the story of Manoach, Shimshon's father. Right? Shimshon was a nazir, and the malach came and appeared to his wife and told his wife that you're going to have a baby and you should make this baby a nazir, right? And then the husband didn't believe her, and then they spoke to the malach again, and then Manoach asks the malach, "What's your name?" Right? So the malach says, "Lama zeh tishalish mi v'hu peli? Why are you asking my name? It is wondrous." Or Pella is like, it's something that's like amazing. It's something beyond you. So why are you asking me your name? Why are you asking me what my name is? It's something that's beyond you, right? That's Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk. Chazal tell us in Bamidbar Rabbah that what that is. It's, Mama Zat Tishala Shmi Vuhu Peli? Why are you asking me my name? It's Peli. That's my name. My name is Peli. Okay, so how does that name fit into what he does? I'll tell you how it fits in. Because the Lashon of the Pasuk went by Nazir, in the sixth parasha, what's the lashon? The Torah says, "Isha isha ki yafli lindar neder nazir lahazir lahashem." What's yafli? Lashon of hafla. Hafla. The Rambam Hilchos Nazirus is in which sefer of the Rambam? It's in sefer hafla. Hafla has to do with verbal expressions. And so Nadarim, Shavuos, and Naziris is all the same thing, right? Hafla. So what's my name? My name is Peli, because Peli has to do with the Lashon of Hafla. I'm bringing out Naziris. That's what the Radal says. So the Lashon of the name of a Malach has to do with what his role is. The Radal brings something very interesting over here. From B'Shem the Rekech. The Rekech has a Kabbalah sefer called Soidi Razi. I tried to look for it yesterday, but I couldn't find this in the Rekech. But the Rekech writes that, or at least apparently writes, that the name of the Malach of Shabbos is Yisrael. I don't know what that means. But apparently the Yom HaShabbos has a special Malach, and the name of that Malach is Yisrael. I don't know what the significance of that is exactly, but okay. Rotza Yaakov lehizgaber im hamalach. Yaakovin wanted to overpower the angel. Vehi pilei la'aretz, and he knocked the angel down to the ground. Me'asa hamalach. What did the angel do? Achas begida nosha shal kap hayarech. It grabbed the, what do they call it? The sciatic nerve on the kaf hayarech, which is on the kaf hayarech, which is next to like the thigh, on top of the the calf of the thigh. What's the calf? Is a like the circle over there of the thigh. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's somewhere like probably over here or something.
I think it's outside.
It's what? On the outside?
I think so.
Okay, could be. Vinasa. Vinasha gir hanasha shalai vinasa kichelav hames, and he sort of uprooted Yaakovina's gir hanasha, and because of that, Yaakovina's gir hanasha became like the chelav of a dead animal, meaning it became usur. You're not allowed to get hana from the gir hanasha. Interestingly, the Radal says that it says chelav hames instead of basar hames. This is, it should have said basar hames, not chelav hames. Because why does it say chelav hames? Because there's a halacha in Maseches Chulin that technically only the gid, the sinew itself, is asur. But we have the Gemara calls it, the Gemara says Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, I think. The Gemara says Yisrael Kedoshim Haim, they're holy, and they also don't eat what's called shimnoi shel gid. There's certain fats that are attached to the gid, I'm not sure. They have more or less the same halachic status as the Gidim Nasha itself. Except for the fact that by Gidim, we say, Ein b'Gidim b'Nais in Tam, and by the Shuman Agid, there is Tam of the Shuman Agid. And so the Shuman Agid is gonna get, it could answer other things or whatever. But that's more or less the idea. That Shuman Agid is also going to be also like the Gid itself. Not as a Deraisa per se, but it's like the Shul Kedashim. Interestingly, I found that there's a sefer called Medrash Rabbi David Hanagid, which is written by Rav David, the grandson of the Rambam, in Parshas Vayishlach. When he brings down this Medrash, Pirkei Eliezer, so he actually says he brings the girsa that he has is ke basar hames, not ke chelav hames. So if you say like that, so then like the Radal says that our Medrash is being meramis to the Isra of Shuman Agid, but because it doesn't say Basar Mes, it says Chelav Mes. But if you have that gear, so then it's not, there's, you lost the remes. Says the Medrash, Lefichach Asur Lebnei Yisrael Lechel Gid Hanasha Shal Kaf HaYareich. Therefore, it's Asur for Jews to eat from the Gid Hanasha, which is on the on top of the circle by the thigh. Shneva says in the pasuk, Al Kin Lo Yichlu Bnei Yisrael Es Gid Hanasha Ashal Kaf HaYareich. Therefore, Bnei Yisrael don't eat the Gid Hanasha, which is on the circle of the thigh. When exactly this Isur came into effect? Did it come into effect by Matan Torah? Did it come into effect after this story? That's a whole nidoim that I don't want to get into, but the Radal wants to say that because it says Asur, it's mashma, that it only became Asur later on, not that it became Asur right away. I don't know where he sees that mashmos from, but okay, that's the Radal. Stam, an interesting idea, and we sort of mentioned this in the previous parak. The Yalkut Shemaini brings down, in the name of Medrash Avkir, Yaakov Shemaini says that this Malach was fighting with Yaakov, and it goes with the Mahalach, that the Malach that was fighting Yaakov was Michal. And it says that Michal, you know, he fought Yaakov and he hit him in the Gidonasha and he hurt Yaakov. So then Hashem says to him, you hurt, how did you hurt my Kayin? You hurt my Kayin. I mean, Yaakov is called a Kohen, like we spoke about in the previous parak. Yaakov is called a Kohen, and Hashem says to the Malach, how could you hurt my Kohen? And then the Malach Michal says, what do you mean? I thought it was your Kohen. Because the Zohar and other sources say that Malach Michal is the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash Lamala. They also said that Michal and the Malach Memtes, Matat, is the same Malach with different names. But the point is that he's the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash Lamala, right? So Hashem says, I'm going to give you an oinish that now you have to, you become a malach that's mshubet to Bnei Yisrael. You tried to destroy my kohen, so now you have to become a kohen to Bnei Yisrael, sort of. You have to serve Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Malach Michal serves Bnei Yisrael. And we said before that every nation has its own malach, right? Except Bnei Yisrael, ki chelek Hashem ama yakav chevel nachlasai. By Klal Yisrael, we go directly with Hashem. We don't have our own Malach. We have Michal. So the Rishonim say that the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Michal is different than the relationship between any other nation and its angel. Because the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Michal, the relationship between any nation and its angel, is that sort of Hashem gives the Hashpah to that nation through the angel. The relationship to Klal Yisrael and Michal is different. Hashem gives Hashpah directly to Klal Yisrael. What does Michal do? Michal is sort of there as in the opposite way. When Klal Yisrael wants to sort of communicate with Hashem or needs someone to bring out his chuyos in front of Hashem, so then Michal takes on that job and defends Klal Yisrael. He's our defender. But the one who ultimately, you know, gives and takes from Klal Yisrael is Hashem. What's up? Says Medrash. Let's go weiter. Ratzo Yaakov lavar es ma'var yaboik uli hisakev sham. Yaakov Avinu wanted to cross. I forgot to bring my map with me, but if we had the map with me, I would tell you like this: there's a river called Ma'var Yaboik, which goes what's it called? It goes east west, travels east west, and it's off of the Yarden. So it's like in modern day Jordan. It goes, you know, the Yarden is like this, right? And then let's say the Yarden is like this, and Eretz Yisrael is over here. From my point of view, and then like the Yaboik goes like this. So Yaakov is coming from like up here from Aram, and he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, which is like over here. So he would have to cross this Ma'var Yaboik, and then again somewhere along this line cross the Yarden and then go into Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov wanted to cross the Ma'var Yaboik to get into what would be called the Eivar Yarden, to then cross the Yarden to go to Eretz Yisrael. So wrote to Yaakov Lavar as Ma'var Yaboik al Hisakev Sham. Yaakov wanted to cross Ma'var Yaboik and be delayed over there. What does it mean he wanted to go cross it and be delayed over there? Why would he want to be delayed? So Mefarshim say that that's not the proper gear. So the proper gear says Vinis Akev Sham. He was delayed. Not that he wanted to be delayed. He was delayed. Who was he delayed by? He was delayed by the Malach. Amaloy Malach. The Malach said to him, Look, Hachamartali, didn't you tell me? Or actually, they say that this is also an improper girsa because Hashem Yaakov didn't say this to the Malach. Yaakov said this to Hashem. So take out the word li. Did you say this? Yaakov, when he was by Beis El, when the story with the ladder in the last parak, was it the last parak, 2 paraks ago? I don't remember. He said, everything that you give to me, I'm going to give you a tenth of it to you Hashem. Right? So you said you're going to give a tenth, and you're coming back, you're on your way to Eretz Yisrael, and you have all these riches, you made a lot of money in the house of Lavan, and you have a whole big flock, and you didn't give me anything. So Yaakov, you should give something to Hashem, you should give a tenth to Hashem. Me'asa Yaakov, what did Yaakov Avinu do? And again, over here, there's also a problem with the girsa, and we're going to go with the girsa as it is in Yaakov Shemini, The Marzu brings this here. So, Me'asa Yaakov, what did Yaakov do? Miyad lokach kol miknehu. Immediately, Yaakov Avinu took all of his flock. Ve'isir mehen tof kufnun. And Yaakov Avinu took off from them, Meiser, a tenth of them, which is tof kufnun, 550. Mikana tolomed, from here you learn, shkol miknehu, hey alofim v'tof kuf. From here you learn that the entire flock of Yaakov Avinu consisted of 5,500 animals, and a tenth of that was 550. That's what Yaakov Avinu gave as Meiser. What did he do with it? Pashas, what he did with it is that he gave it to Esav, and we're gonna see at the end of the parak why did he give the Meiser to Esav? Like where is it coming from? What's he trying to do? You don't give Meiser to Esav. Meiser you give to a Levi. Meiser, you give to a poor man. Meiser, you eat in your shalayim. Why is Yaakov Avinu giving the animals to Esav? Okay, well, I'll keep that question in mind. So that's an interesting thing because it says that what he gave gemalim, he gave camels, and he gave donkeys. But usually you don't give Meiser from those animals. But Meiser behemah is only on a kosher animal. So why is Yaakov Avinu giving from the donkeys, from the camels? So the Marzu says that because he wanted to fulfill exactly what his nether was. His nether was Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Loch. Everything that you give me, I'm going to give you a tenth. So everything, a tenth from everything. You gave me camels, even though camels not a kosher animal, I'll give you a tenth of the camels. You gave me donkeys, I'll give you a tenth of the donkeys, even though it's not a kosher animal. I said Kol Asher. Yeah, everything that you give me, Kol Asher Titen Li, then I'm going to give you a tenth from. Okay. Now this is the interesting part. The Malach said to Yaakov Avinu, Yesh lecha banim v'loy isar to'isam li. Don't you have children? You have sons. And you never give a tenth of your sons. Hashem gave you sons. Kol asher titen li. Everything Hashem gives me, I'm going to give a tenth. But the Malach says to him, but you have sons, and you didn't give a tenth of your sons to Hashem. So we're going to see that Yaakov is going to take a tenth of his sons and give it to Hashem. One tenth. One out of ten. But Stam is an interesting thing because there's no such thing as Meiser Adam. Right? You don't have to give a tenth of your sons. You only give a tenth of your animals.
At that point, he had 11 sons.
That's
you
true.
Have to take one
but, and half. No, you'll have to hear how we're going to make the cheshbon exactly what he did. But yeah. But the Ibn Ezra, actually, the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Vayetze, Pasuk Chav Ches, Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis, he says that, like, you know, this whole idea of giving a tenth of his sons, whatever, it's only a Jewish, it's not like a real halacha, because, like, we don't find that there's such a halacha of giving a tenth of your sons. But the truth is, if we say what I was saying earlier, that the idea is that he said, Kol Asher Titen Li, whatever I'm going to, whatever, from everything you gave me, I'm going to give you a tenth. So even though there's no halacha, in general, that you have to give a tenth of your sons, but Yaakovina was giving it in order to fulfill his nether of Kut. Okay, that sort of answers the Ibn Ezra's question. Okay, so the Malach tells Yaakovina, you have to give me a tenth of your sons. Me'asa Yaakov, what did Yaakovina do? Says the Medrash, Hifrish arba'a b'chayres l'arba'i mois v'nishtari shmoina. Okay, this. Let's start it off like this. Well, we're gonna make a comparison to the halachas of Meiser Behema. This comes up in Maseches Bechorah, exactly how Meiser Behema works. The way Meiser Behema works is that a person takes, you have 10 animals, right? So you take your animals and you pass them through the corral and you count. One, the first one that goes through, you go one. The second one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. The tenth one, you're supposed to take a stick, a rod that has red paint on it, and you hit the animal with the stick with red paint, and then you see there's red paint on this animal, and that signifies that this is the tenth one, Asiri Kodesh, Asiri Kodesh, and the tenth one is Kodesh, and that's the Meiser Behema. Right? Fine. That's the halacha of Meiser Behema. That's how Meiser Behema works. Now, the halacha is like this. There's another halacha called Bechor. The halacha of Bechor is that anyone that's a firstborn, any animal that's a firstborn to its mother, is automatically Kaddish. The Gemara says there's besides the fact that it's automatically Kaddish Mirachem Imay, there's another halacha that you should add Kedusha verbally by saying that this is Kaddish. Fine. But the truth is that it's Kaddish on its own already. Right? So the halacha is that a Bechor is not counted in the Cheshbon, it's not counted in the calculation of the 10 animals from Meiser Behema. Because the Bechor is already Kodesh. So when we're talking about the 10 animals from Meiser Behema, we're only talking about 10 animals excluding the Bechors.
That's why I counted before.
But?
Oh. Each one of the mothers.
So this is what Yaakovin is going to do. If we have, we're trying to get to 10 kids, we're trying to give off a tenth of Yaakovina's children. This is what Yaakovina does. First, you gotta get rid of the Bechoris. Because the Bechor doesn't count for Meiser, you know, just like a Bechor doesn't count for Meiser Behema, so for this idea also, Bechor is not gonna count. So Yaakovina took away Hifrish arba Bechoris arba Yimohis. He separated the four firstborn sons according to the four mothers. Right? So let's exclude Reuven, who's the firstborn of Leah. We're going to exclude Gad, who's the firstborn of Zilpah, of Bilhah. Right? Dan, who's the firstborn of... No. Gad is the firstborn of Zilpah. Asher is the firstborn of Dan.
Dan is the firstborn of
Bilhah. Dan is the firstborn of Bilhah. And Gad is the firstborn of Zilpah. And Yosef is the firstborn of Rachel. So we're taking out those four. Yeah? Finishteru shmoina. So what are we left with? Eight, right? Because Yaakovinu is altogether going to have 12 kids. 12 minus 4 is 8, right? So Yaakovinu has 8 kids. So now his chil mi Shimon. So let's count the kids from starting from Shimon. Begamar Binyamin Shibimeye Imoy. And he finished with Binyamin, who was in his mother's womb. He was already conceived, but not yet born. So he counts. And the Radal says, like, Menashe and Ephraim, they don't count because they're not even born. They're not even conceived yet, Bachal. But Binyamin, he counts even though he's not born because he's already conceived. She was already conceived with Binyamin. So let's count. We're starting with Shimon, because Reuven, right? Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Right? We skip God, so we do Asher, skip Dan, do Naphtali, and then we have Binyamin. Okay, 8. But we're supposed to get to 10, right? So what do we do now? So says the Medrash. V'oyed hiskel mishimen v'gamar b'levi. So we'll start again. Okay, going back to number 9 is going to be Shimon, and 10 is going to be Levi. So Levi is the 10th one. V'ala Levi meiser kodesh Hashem. And Levi came out the 10th one, holy to Hashem.
How did I get to the...
Once again, it says the puzzle has to be a Kodesh Lashem. The 10th one is going to be Kodesh Lashem. I mean, technically, there's only eight kids, right? Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Naphtali, Asher, and Binyamin. Those are the 8 kids that are left, right? Yeah. Now, I think, I'm pretty sure, Halacha L'Maisa, when you talk about Maisa Bechor, if you only have 8 animals, you're Potter from Maisa Bechor. Maisa Behema, right? If you only have 8, you're Potter. But Yaakovino is being Machmer. He counts 8, and what does he do after he finishes counting 8? Oh, he starts over, he goes back to the beginning. He starts again, Shimon, Levi. So yeah. Levi is 10.
Yeah.
That's where he got, that. So Levi is 10, so because of that, Levi had got a special Kedusha's Levi, right? The Levi is going to be the one that's going to be Mishamish in the Kohuna and the Levius, the Beis HaMikdash, and do Avodas Hashem, etc. Right? Fine. So that's the first opinion of how Yaakovinu made a cheshbon and came out that Levi should be the meister that he's giving off. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Shmuel argues, and he says a different pshat. Kol ha-bachayos k'shein mishmiras ha'ayin chayavin l'saser b'meister. No, he disagrees. He's a bachar, as long as it's under your domain, until I give it to the Kohen, it's considered, you know, mine, and I have responsibility for it, and it's going to be included in the cheshbon of Meiser. So even though we said originally with the first pshat, we said take out the 4 bacharis, the Bishmuel says no, keep the 4 bacharis still in the cheshbon. V'loi is ela iser, the Zayis Rana says it, say ela, not v'loi, ela iser Yaakov l'mafreya. Rather, Yaakov Avinu gave off the Meiser l'mafreya. He counted it. How did we come to a cheshbon that will make Levi number 10? We're going to count backwards. And therefore Levi is going to be number 10. Right? We're counting everyone together. All 12 Shvatim. And Levi is going to be number 10. Because we have Binyamin, Yosef, Naphtali, Don, Asher, Gad, Zvulun, Yisachar, Yehuda, Levi, right? All we're counting all the Shvatim backwards from Binyamin. Levi is going to be number 10, right? Shimon would be 11, Reuven would be 12, right? So Levi was 10. Hischel and Binyamin shebemei imay. He began with Binyamin, who's in his mother's womb. And the Radal says maybe the pshat why would begin? Why begin with Binyamin? Because if we're going to talk, if we want to start, we want to start with the children of Rachel because Rachel is the Iker. V'ala Levi kodesh Hashem, and Levi came out the 10th one, the holy to Hashem. V'ala v'kasav leimer asiri yeh kodesh Hashem. The 10th one, when the pasuk was talking about Ma'aser Behema, should be kodesh, should be holy for Hashem. So that's the idea of Levi being kodesh Hashem. So. Yeah, so Rabbi Shmuel argues and he says that he gives a different cheshbon of exactly how we came out to the number of that Levi will be number 10. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter and then we'll speak about another nukuda of the holiness of Levi, of the kedusha of Levi. And then hopefully we'll finish the prayer. So the Medrash, Yarad Michoel HaMalach, the angel Michoel came down, V'notalas Levi, and he took Levi. He took the person Levi, v'aleo lefnei kodesh baruch hu, and he brought Levi in front of Hashem. Omar lefanav, he said to him, Ribbono shel olam, master of the universe, ze goyrolcho v'chelek maserecha, or chelek maserecha. This is your goyrol, this is your lot, and this is the portion of your maser or of your deeds. Upashat yad yeminoi uberchoi, Hashem stretched out his right hand, which is an expression we had a few times in Pirkei the Blizzard. Kabiyachol, he stretched out his right hand, which we in other places it seems to mean that he gave Hashem made a promise. Uberachai, and Hashem gave him a special bracha, a blessing. Shiyu b'nei Levi misharsim lefanov ba'aretz kemalachi asharis b'shaim. Hashem gave him a blessing that the children of Levi will serve in front of him in the land, just like the malachi asharis serve in front of Hashem in the Shemayim. Omar Michael, b'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Michael said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Kol Olamim, master of the universes, Hamisharsim lamelach enoy nesin lahem teref lemizoinam. The people who work for the king, the servants of the king, shouldn't the king give them teref mizoinam? Shouldn't the king give them something to support themselves, sustenance to support themselves? Fikach nesin lahem livnei Levi kol kodesh she'ala lishmoy. Therefore, Hashem gave to the children of Levi any holy foods that came up for Hashem. Shneimer says in the pasuk, Ishe Hashem v'nachalasai gechilun. Ishe Hashem, the burnt offerings for Hashem v'nachalasai and its inheritance gechilun. They, the Bnei Levi, the Kohanim, the Levim, they get to eat it. They get to eat the Meiser and the Trumo and the Kachim, etc. That goes to Levi because Levi is Kodesh. Like we said, the pasuk says, Kol asher yavar tachas hashevet. Of all the ones that come underneath the shevet, underneath the rod that the crane is hitting, that the person is hitting his different animal, his animals with, the tenth one is Kodesh Hashem. The Radal says an interesting idea that we want to darshan like Kol Asher Yavar Tachas Hashevet, because they're like Hashevet is not just going on the stick, but the word shevet has a dual meaning. It could also mean tribe. So the Shevet Hasiri Kodesh Hashem. The tenth tribe is Kodesh Hashem. That's why Levi is Kodesh Hashem. It's interesting that Shevet and Mata both mean a stick, and they both mean a tribe in the Chumash. Don't know exactly what the significance of that is. Fine. So that, this is one aspect of the Kedusha of Levi. The Kedusha of Levi comes from the fact that Yaakovinu felt the need to take off Meiser, and Yaakovinu felt the need to take off Meiser of his children, so he gave Levi as that Meiser of his children. Levi is the one of ten. And the Medrash brings these like funny, sort of funny chashbonos, how we came out that Levi was the tenth one. Because Meiser is supposed to be the tenth. But there's another aspect to the idea of Levi, to the Kedusha of Shevet Levi. And that aspect comes from the fact that Levi is the third one that's born. The third kid. The Kedusha of Levi comes from the fact that it's associated with the number three. And that's what I want to speak a little bit about. And it has to do a little bit with Shavuos and bring out some ideas. And then we'll try to finish off the parak. The Medrash Tadshei, which is brought in Etzer Midrashim, page 485, says, brings a pasuk in the parasha. I think it's either in this week's parasha or last week's parasha. It says, Miben Shleishim Shana Vamala. From 30 years old and on, that's when a Levi starts working in the Beis HaMikdash. And Shleishim, you could read the word Shleishim as 30, and you could read the word Shleishim has to do with multiple threes. Like Shaloishim, threes, right? So the Medrash says, three, because Levi has to do with the number three, and it brings different things that different. Levi had three sons, etc. Levi is kashur to the number three. One of the nekudas that the Medrash says is that Levi was shlishi lebeten. Levi is the third one from the stomach. Levi was the third child born to its mother. None of the other shvatim were the third child born to its mother, right? Because Bilhah and Zilpah and Rachel only had two kids. So none of them had a third son. Leah was the only one who she had six kids, right? So she was the only one who had, because she had six, she was able to have, not six, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zilpah. Yeah, six. Six kids, right? So she was able to have a third, right? She had a third. Levi was the third kid. Shlishi lebet and imai. So that, the Medrash seems to be saying, is has to do with the idea of why Levi specifically was chosen
as the Meiser.
That Medrash isn't talking about the Meiser. But that Medrash is not talking about the Kedusha of Shevet Levi, because Levi is the third. I found a sefer called Medrash Ariel from Rabbi Yitzchak Arieli, from my Rebbe Rav Osher Arieli's grandfather. So he says what you just said. It says, why did Yaakov choose Levi as the Meiser? Because he was the third. Because he was the third, so when I had to take off a tenth, I chose Dafka him. And he says that we already see something special about Levi, because when you look at all the Shvatim that are, when they're born in Parshas Vayetze, so who gives their names? If you look carefully, their mother gives their names, or either Rachel or Leah gives everyone's name, basically, in Parshas Vayetze, except for Levi, where it says in Levi Kara, he called her, he called him. Yaakovina gave the name Levi to Levi. All the other Shvatim, it says that the mother gave the name. So Levi already, we see that, so Medrash Ariel wants to say that the Pshat is because Yaakovina wanted to imbue in Levi special koichas because he knew that he was going to be the kodesh, whatever, because he was the third one born. So he himself gave him the name to give him those extra koichas instead of having it come from his mother. That's what Medrash Ariel says. And we see this idea of the third one that's born as being a chosh of a thing in a few places in Chazal. One place is like this. It's a Gemara in Pesachim. It happens to be that this is a pretty famous Gemara. Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samech Chesam and Beis. The Gemara says, Rav Yosef, B'yema Da'atzarta. Rav Yosef on the day of Atzeres, meaning on Shavuos. Rav Yosef, B'yema Da'atzarta, Omar, he would say on Shavuos, Avdili Igla Tilsa. Make for me an Igla Tilsa. Some sort of calf that has to do with the number 3. A third calf. Make for me a third calf. Why? Amar, Rav Yosef said, Ilav hayumo, if it wasn't for this day of Shavuos, the Kagarim, Kama Yosef Yika Bishuki, if it wasn't for this day of Shavuos, that we got the Torah on this day of Shavuos, Kama Yosef Yika Bishuki. There's a lot of people named Yosef out in the marketplace. So what makes me special? The fact that what makes me special because I'm Rav Yosef. I'm special because I'm one of the Gedolei Torah. I'm a Talmud Chacham. So what gives the chashivus? What's the day of the year that gives the chashivus of Torah? Shavuos. So this is the day that makes it that I'm more chashiv than everyone else. So because of that, I want to celebrate this day specially and have an igla tasa, a third calf. Right? It's a famous Gemara. Kama Yosef Yika Bishuki. I remember Rav Finkel's, that's all, Rav Shiva in the mirror, he used to say this Gemara a lot. Whenever he would say it, he would say, Kama Yosef Yika Bishuki, and then he'd say, there's a lot of Joes out on the street. There's a lot of people named Joe on the street. What makes Rav Yosef Chashuv? Because he was a Talmud Chacham, he had Shaychus to the Torah, so he said, Shavuos, it was my holiday, so I want to eat something special, so make me a third calf. What's a third calf? Igla Tlasa. What's a third calf? Rashi's about this. Rashi and Shabbos, Erevin, Tesis, and Gittin. What's this? Igla Tlasa? A calf that was born as the third to its mother. I mean, you have a mommy cow, and the mommy cow gives birth to one calf, and gives birth to another calf, and the third calf that it gives born to, that's called the Igla Tlasa. It's considered a hush of a calf, and that's what Rav Yosef wanted to eat specifically on Shavuos, because it was a hush of a calf. The third one born. Why is it chashav? I don't know. Maybe it tastes. I think there's a pshat that like it tastes better. I don't know exactly what the point is, but the point is that the third one born is a chashav a thing. There's another Gemara about this. Gemara says, that's another famous Gemara that has to do with Shavuos. Gemara says in Shabbos Taf Peches Meral. Dorish Hahu Gliloyim. A certain Galilean darshaned Aleha to Rav Chisda, about Rav Chisda. He said, Brich Rachmana, blessed is the merciful one, and blessed is Hashem. The Yoev Orient Lisoi, who gave the three-pronged Torah, because Torah is Torah Nevim Ksuvim, so he gave the three-pronged Torah, La'am Tlisoi, to the three-pronged nation, because we have Kain Levi Yisrael, Al Yedei Tlisoi, through the third person, meaning through Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the third person born to his mother, because he had Miriam, who was the oldest, and then it was Aaron, and then Moshe. B'yoyim Tlisoi, on the third day, meaning because they prepared for 3 days before Matan Torah. B'yarcha Tlisoi, in the third month, that So Hashem, so he's giving a special bracha that, you know, blessed is Hashem who gave the Torah on the third day, the third day, the third month, the three prime heritage, the three prime nation through the person who is a third person. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu called a third person? Because he was a shlishi lepet, and Imai Rashi says he was the third person born to his mother. So you see that there's a chashivus of being the third one born. There's another girsa in this Gemara in Shabbos. I didn't see it. I looked in the Torah. I couldn't find it in any of the different girsos. But I found this in Mishnah's Rabbi Eliezer, who's Rabbi Eliezer Trillinger, Talmud of Rabbi Reb Heschel, in Parshas Vayechi. He says there's another girsa in this Gemara where it says Al Yedei Tlisaya through the third person Umishifta the Tlisaya, and from the third Shevet, which is a reference to Shevet Levi. Because and we also see this Nukun, that Levi himself was the third person born to his mother, so he was the third one born. So there's a special chashivus in the third. So there's another Gemara sort of that slightly touches on this. There's a Gemara by Zimri that the Midianite princess Cosby, right? She went into Bnei Yisrael to try to be mezana with a hush of a person. Right? So she went to Zimri. So Zimri came over to her and said, like, "Yo, you should be mezana with me." Right? So she said, "No, I was given orders that I should only be mezana with the king, with Moshe Rabbeinu." Moshe was like a king. He was a king. So Zimri says to her, "Well, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu, he's from Shevet Levi. They're the third Shevet. They're born third. I'm from Shevet Shimon. But we were born second. I'm more chashuv than Moshe Rabbeinu." So I guess she accepted that and she was mezana with Zimri. Right? That's the Gemara. So Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Gimel Mevez. That's the Gemara, right? So what, is he right that Shimon is more chashuv because Shimon is two? No, he's not right because three is more, even though two is a more chashuv number because it comes before three, right? In the order, one, two, three, right? You know that? We said one, two, three, right? but three is more chashuv because three is a shlishi lebet anima. Three is a chashuv thing. So Shevet Levi is more chashuv than Shevet Shimon. Okay, so now all of this sounds really weird, right? I'm just talking about how chashuv and important the number three is, but like, where does this come from? What's the importance of the number three? So there's a maral about this. The maral, it's called Drush al Torah. The maral wrote kuntres called Drush al Torah. It's printed in the old editions of Be'er HaGoyla, not Mechunishlam, the old one. The old editions of Be'er HaGoyla in the back is called Drush al Torah on page. Chaf Dalet, 24, page 24, the Maral says like this. The Maral says that the Mila of the... He's talking about the Gemara in Shabbos, about Uri and Tlisai, the three-pronged Torah, etc. So he's saying, what's the Mila of being three? What's the advantage of the number three? So because three is always something that's Yosher. The three is straight. And the three makes it something straight. I heard a whole pshat once about like some sort of... What's it called? I forgot the word now. Why can I forget the word? Geometrical pshat geometrical pshat in the Maral that it has to do with like a triangle. You need to have three lines. So somehow the number three is like is like a balance because they have like two lines and a third one. The hypotenuse is like about, I don't know exactly what that pshat means, but it could be some sort of thing, the same idea that we're going to say over here, that I heard from my Rebbe, Rebbe Leo Margolis Shlita. He says like this, that the idea of the number three is that when you go in the order of the spheres, right, we have spheres of Omer, we know, it used to be that you know, the Kabbalistic aspect of spheres of Omer, that it had to do with like the seven out of the 10 spheres, that wasn't known to like everybody in the world. That was just like something kept secret by the Mukabal. Now it's printed in all the Siddur, every Siddur has this, everyone knows all these different things about Kabbal. So it says, Chesed Gvur Tiferes, right? 1, 2, 3, Chesed Gvur Tiferes. Right. So we've spoken many times already about what these different ideas are. Chesed is the idea of when you focus on the giving, and Gevurah is when you focus on the receiver, which can some focus on the receiver. Sometimes it results in being mitzamtzem and not giving. Right? Chesed, Gevurah. And then Tiferes is sort of that balance of Chesed and Gevurah. That's what we speak about this in a lot of different ways. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevurah, Yaakovino is Tiferes. Yaakovino is that balance. There's another Titan Emes Leyakov Chesed Lavram, right? Avram is Chesed and Yaakovino is Emes. Emes and Tiferes is more or less the same idea because Emes is the balance. Emes is the middle, right? Emes is they say that Emes is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, the last letter of the Aleph Beis, and the middle letter. It's everything together and it's all one cohesive unit. Emes is everything together. So that's what the idea of Tiferes is as well. Tiferes is it's Chesed and Gvura balanced in a proper balance, and it's mamish emester. So when we want to talk about Hashem, so we say that Hashem sometimes does chesed, sometimes does gevura, and then we also say that mizug, that mixture of chesed and gevura, is what we call tiferes, right? So the most similar to Hashem is going to be tiferes, because tiferes it brings out both aspects of Hashem, and it's the most. If we could say that something is similar to Hashem. I don't know if we could say that, but we would have to say that Tiferes is the most similar midah that we can have to being closer to Hashem, to being similar to Hashem. So then it makes a lot of sense now, because Levi is number three. Levi represents Tiferes, and which is going to be the one that's kodesh l'Hashem, the one that's going to be serving Hashem, it's going to be Tiferes, the one that's most similar to that to the way Hashem is noyeg in the world, Tiferes. And then, this was my addition that I took what the Maharal says over there in that Gemara and just like brought it into explaining why the Chashivas of Levi is that Levi is the third. And then I was thinking afterwards, you know, we can actually see, I can actually prove to you that Levi has to do with Tiferes in his role as the third. I can't prove to you, but I can bring you a pretty strong raya. If you look, if you look in Parshas Vezayis Bracha, so you'll see that Moshe Rabbeinu did not give a bracha to Reuven and Shimon. Why didn't he give a bracha to Reuven and Shimon? Well, Reuven and Shimon were, so to speak, nichshal in certain nekudas, whatever it means that they were nichshal in avera or whatever. I don't know exactly in what sort of bechina they were nichshal in, and how we can relate to exactly what they were nichshal in. But whatever they were nichshal in certain things, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to give them brachas. Now, what were they nichshal in? So Reuven, we know Reuven nichshal in what he did with Bilhah, right? Whatever he did with Bilhah, whatever exactly happened over there, we don't know exactly what it means. Chazal tells us that he moved the bed, and somehow, for whatever reason, the Torah calls it that he slept with Bilhah. Right? The Torah calls the Avera that Reuven did some aspect of an Avera of Arayas. And we've spoken already many times that the idea of Chesed is, you know, giving Hashpah to somebody in a correct way. And the idea of Arayas is giving Hashpah in the wrong way. So Arayas is sort of misplaced or misfocused chesed, right? Chesed, who we said by marrying your sister is called a chesed. Arise is misplaced chesed. So Reuven is chesed. It's just, it happens to be that he sort of messed up on his chesed. He sort of messed up the chesed. And Shimon, what was the problem with Shimon? The problem with Shimon is that Shimon was very murderous, overly murderous. And we'll speak about this in the next parak, parak Lamaches, about the story of Shechem. Shimon was the major player in the story of Shechem, and he went and he killed it all out. He killed out Shechem. Right? What's killing? Killing, is said, is an unbalanced gevura, because gevura is taking away, and when you kill a person, you're taking away his neshama. That's the ultimate taking away that you could do from a person. It's killing him, the gevura. So Shimon was a misplaced gevura. So Reuven was Chesed, Shimon is Gevura. So obviously Levi is going to be Tiferes. That's the idea of number three. Levi. Okay, I think that was like a little bit too Kabbalistic, but I'll try to finish the parak. Let's go weiter. Kishavar Yaakov Lovoi Eretz Kanan. When Yaakov Avinu crossed the Nahar Yabaik to go into Eretz Kanan, Bo Elov Esav. Esav came to him. Wait, did I skip something? No. Esav came to him. Mehar Seir. Bizaaf af v'zamam laharbe. Yosef came to him with being very angrily, and he had a plan that he was going to go and kill Yaakov Avinu. Shnemar, it says in the pasuk, Zaymim Rosha Latzadik v'charek alav shinav. The Zaymim Rosha Latzadik, the Rosha has an evil plot against the tzadik, v'charek alav shinav, and he's gnashing his teeth. He's like getting ready to like go and do bite him, like do something against him. What do you mean bite him? Oh, Esav said, Any hurry against Yaakov, Ochi, Bechitzim, Uvakeshes. I'm not going to kill my brother Yaakov, Bechitzim, Uvakeshes, with a bow and arrow. How am I going to kill him? Ela befi ani hargoy. Rather, I'm going to kill my brother Yaakovinu with my mouth. Umaitzitzes domai, and I'm going to suck out his blood. Who was the first vampire? Esau. Shedemar, it says in the pasuk, Vayorat Esav the crossway, Esav ran to greet him, Vayichabkehu, Vayipol atavarov, Vayishokehu, Vayivku. Esav ran to greet him, and he hugged him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and he cried. Al dihi kari Vayishokehu, don't read the pasuk Vayishokehu, and he kissed him, Ela Vayishokehu, rather Vayishokehu, and he bit him. Benasa tavarei shal Yaakov ke'etzem Hashem. And when Esau tried to bite Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu's neck turned into like a bone of a teeth. It turned into like ivory. It was very hard. And then Yaakov Avinu and Esau wasn't able to bite him. V'alav kasuv emer tzavorech kemigdal hashen. Your neck is like a tower of an ivory tower, right? That's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. V'kol ushinov shel Esav, and Esav's teeth got knocked out because he tried to bite something that was too hard for him to bite. When he saw that he wasn't able to fulfill his taiva, his desire to kill Yaakovinu, so hisul kais v'charik b'shinam, he got very angry and he started like gnashing in his teeth and like holding in his anger. Shenemar, it says the pasuk Rasha yira v'choas shinav yacharek v'nomas. Rasha saw and he got angry. Shinav yacharek, he gnashes his teeth and they sort of dissolved away because now he doesn't really have it because his teeth fell out or something like that.
So how's he gnashing his teeth if he fell out?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they fell out afterwards. I'm not sure.
They got weakened.
He stayed inside. I don't know. What's the drush over here? It says, don't say vayishokehu, el vayishokehu. So the Bais HaGadol says, because if you look in the Sefer Torah, on the word vayishokehu, there's a bunch of dots. So somehow that's coming to tell us that it means that he bit him. I'm not sure exactly how that's coming to tell us that, but that's the Bais HaGadol says.
Rashi gives two shot. One is Rashi that in that moment he did it with the blade of Shalom and Shichu.
Right.
And another one is that he Taka tried to bite him.
Right. But what is that? Where do you learn from the dots on the word Vayishokehu, that each letter has a dot on top of it, where do you learn from that it means he tried to bite him? That I don't understand. This is an interesting Rabbi Liomi Izmir. As a pshat over here, that he wants to say that Esav wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu through a shame of tumah. He wanted, when it says that he wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu with his mouth, it means he wanted to kill him with a shame of tumah. And Rav Chaim Falachi brings down this shtickle from Rabbi Liomi Izmir and says, I don't understand what you're talking about. That's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says he wanted to bite him. It says he wanted to bite him and suck out his teeth. And it says, Vayishokehu. Where did you see it in the Medrash over here that it says that he wanted to use a shame of tumah? I don't know what the pshat is. I'm not sure what he was thinking either. Right, it says the Medrash. V'lokach Yaakov es ma'aser kinyanei she'hevim mipadan aram. Yaakov Avinu took a tenth of his possessions that he brought with him from Padan Aram. V'sharlach b'ad avodo v'nosan la'esav. And he sent it to his servants and he gave it to Esav. Omar lahem, he said to them, Imru loy, go tell Esav. Koyamar avtecha Yaakov, so said your servant Yaakov. Famous words, Imlovan garti, v'echar ad ato, ad oto. I lived with Lavan and I've been delayed until now. Now Hashem is going to criticize him. Yaakov, asisas akodesh chol. You made the holy thing profaned. What does that mean? Because you called yourself an eved of Esav. You're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be above Esav. And you're making the holy thing yourself profaned. And you're saying that you're the servant of Esav. No, I'm sorry. I skipped a step. Scratch what I said. Basisas akodesh chol. You made the holy thing profane. You were supposed to take off ma'aser. You were supposed to take off ma'aser of your animals and give it to me, to Hashem. And instead, you're giving it to Esav. You're making it profane. Amar lefanav. So Yaakovina said in front of Hashem. He said, "Ribbon kol olam, master of the universes. Ani machanif lo rasha b'shvil shel yargeni. I'm flattering the wicked man so that he won't kill me." Meaning, Hashem. I'm supposed to take this ma'aser and give it to Hashem. But instead, I'm doing something else. I'm right now in a situation of sakana safashos. Esav wants to go and kill me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to give my ma'aser to Esav. Why am I giving my ma'aser to Esav? Not because I want to desecrate the holy ma'aser by giving it to the Rasha Esav. I'm trying to flatter him. I'm trying to suck up to him. I'm trying to show Esav that, you know, forget about the Bukhara, forget about the Bukhara that I bought from you, forget about the brachas. Really, I'm acknowledging you're really the Bukhara. Really, Esav, you're the Bukhara. Look, I'm giving you Meiser. I'm giving you my you're a Kohen. I'm giving you Meiser. You're the Levi. You're the Kohen. I'm giving you Meiser. Forget about those things. From here, the rabbis say that you're allowed to flatter a Rasha in this world because in order to make peace. Right? If he's trying to kill you, you're allowed to say things that you don't necessarily mean or whatever, just so that you know he'll feel good about himself and he won't try to do something against you. Amar Lai Esav. My brother, I have a lot. You don't have to give it to me. Because Yaakov didn't give covet to Esav, therefore, Bnei Yaakov gave covet to Bnei Esav with the same lashon of Rav. Right? Esav said Yeshli Rav. So when we talk about Esav, we're going to say also Yeshli. We're going to also use the lashon of Rav. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, in Parshas Devarim, when Hashem said, okay, I had enough of you circling around Har Seir, now it's time for you to like get ready to go to Yisrael. So he said, Rav Lachem Seves Ahar Hazeh. It's enough to you that you were circling around this mountain. Hashem said to Yaakov, this is what I was talking about before. It's not enough that you made yourself, your holy self, chol, you made your holy self desecrated. And that's what I was referring to before. Because you called yourself an Eved of Esav, when you're supposed to be an Eved of Hashem, right? Ela shamarti v'rav yavitzer. Rather, it's more than that. It's more than you made yourself an Eved to called yourself an Eved to Esav. I said, meaning Hashem gave a nevuah to Rivka al yidei Shem and Aver. He said to them, right? V'rav yavitzer. The older one is gonna serve the younger one. And you said that you're the servant. You weren't supposed to be the servant. You were supposed to be the one that he's serving you, and you switched it. So I swear, Hashem says, I swear that the way you said it, that's how it's gonna be. He, Esav, will rule over you in this world. And you're only gonna rule with him in the world to come. Therefore, he said to Yaakov. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu said to him, "Yavrna doini lifnei avdei vani es nala liiti." Yaakov Esav said, "No, let's come together and we'll go to Har Seir." And Yaakov Avinu says, "No. You go yourself. Yavrna doini lifnei avdei. You go and pass in front of me. Vani es nala liiti. I'm going to lead my flock slowly, and eventually I'll come up to Har. I'll catch up to you." Mikanot lomed. From here you learn. So in the future, Yaakov is going to come up and sort of in the Eil Haba when Mashiach comes. But at this point in the time in the world, in Olam Hazeh, Esav is going to rule over us. From here you learn, and this is the third time we had this line in Pirkei Avos, that the children of Esav are not going to fall until the remnant of Yaakov comes. It's going to cut off the feet of the children of Esav from Har Seir. The star is going to come down. This is talking about the Nevuah of Bilam. When it's talking about Achras Hayomim, so it says, Derach Krechav, there's going to be a star that's going to come out from Yaakov, which is talking about Mashiach. V'yared me Yaakov, and it's going to come down from Yaakov, Uchsiv, and then different passage says, V'lo yesorid livnei Esav ki Hashem diber. There's not going to be a sorid, there's not going to be a remnant to the house of Esav, because that's what Hashem has spoken. So in the future, Esav is going to fall to Yaakov, but in contemporary times, Yaakov, you know, is going to be subservient to Esav. There was one nekuda that I forgot to mention earlier in the beginning when I said that we spoke about Lavan and Esav. We said that Lavan is like an Aryeh because Lavan has boishes panim. He could be embarrassed, and Esav doesn't have boishes panim. He can't be embarrassed. So we said pshat from Rabbi Yomi Izmir, and he says two pshat. The first pshat we said was that Esav wanted to kill even Yaakov Avinu's family, even though he didn't know them, which Rabbi Yehuda Ezra said is the ultimate chutzpah. So that means he doesn't have bishus panim. Mashenkin Lavan, he just wanted to kill Yaakov Avinu. Why? The second pshat Rabbi Yehuda Ezra says like this. It says that. Esav he's not embarrassed to say why he wants to kill Yaakov Avinu. Why do I want to kill Yaakov Avinu? What? He stole a bracha from me. He stole the bechira from me, etc. That's why I want to go kill him. Now, by admitting why he wants to kill Yaakov Avinu, he's basically saying to everybody that Yaakov Avinu had successfully tricked me twice, and they both. And they both had to do with food. I remember a nakuda that they both had to do. I can't find it over here. He says something like they both had to do with food, because the bechira was that he sold the bechira for food, and the bracha is that Yaakov Avinu brought the food to Yitzchak first, so he got the bracha first. So Esav was by saying why he wants to kill Yaakov Avinu, he's showing that he's not embarrassed to show that like he got tricked twice. So that's what it means, that he doesn't have embarrassment. I don't remember exactly what this nukuda was about the food. And there's another shtika also that I didn't mention from Rabbi Leomi Israel about why because Levi is the third one born, is Levi going to be the holy one? He says like pshat that because there's three partners in a person: Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shlosh Shutzim Ba'adam, Hashem, the mother and the father. So he says that each shutzim is supposed to get a kid. If you have three kids, so each one gets a kid. Right? So he says that really Hashem should get the firstborn. But in the case of Yaakov Avinu, for some reason he said Yaakov Avinu said about Reuven b'chayri ata. So because he says the idea is that in general, we're not going to speak about Yaakov Avinu specifically, but he says in general the firstborn son, the machshavas in his conception weren't completely holy because the machshavas of bachrus. So he says that, so the first one we don't want to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll give it to the father. And once we give the first one to the father, we have to give the second one to the mother. So Mimela, the third one, is going to be the one that goes to Hashem. More or less, he says, something like that. You have to see it inside to do it justice. Okay, have a good Shabbos and a good Yontif. And thank you for coming. And thank you for staying. And we'll reconvene at a different time.